You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
Hey friends, you're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. It's been a little bit, I know. And for those of you that follow this podcast and truly enjoy what we've been doing, thank you for your patience. This has been a season for me of focus. There's been a lot going on behind the scenes, and I know this podcast has not been as regular as I would prefer, but we haven't quit. And there will be more podcasts coming out in the future. And you know what? Today's going to be an awesome time. Now, today is going to be a resharing of a recent conversation I had with Celeste Solemn on her podcast. And so we got to a lot of good stuff. And I said, you know, this was too much fun to not share on our platform. So we're amplifying today. Friends, danduvall.com is the location of the Dan Duvall podcast, Discovering Truth. It is also the place where you can get some merch and you can connect in different ways. One of the other things that is deeply on my heart is the upcoming Bride Tribe Advance 2024. This is going to be occurring in Houston at the Westin Oaks at the Galleria, November 7th through the 10th. It is called Justice and Judgment. And friends, it is going to be epic. Now, good news and bad news. The bad news is that we sold out our block at the hotel. It's gone. There's no more seats in the hotel itself. However, you can still get a day pass or join the live stream. All you have to do is go to booking.bridemovement.com and you can still be part of the extraordinary adventure we're going to be taking. It's going to be extremely strategic. This is going to be happening literally the day after the election or 2 days after the election. So we are going to be coming on the back of a massive political shift. There's going to be a whole lot going on in the spirit, a whole lot going on in the natural. And we are going to be converging in Houston, Texas, at the Westin Oaks for the Bride Tribe 2024 advance called Justice and Judgment, Ecclesia Arising. You do not want to miss this. So friends, hopefully we'll see you there. And don't go anywhere because we're about to get right to the podcast.
Those were your announcements.
Hi, this is Celeste with the Celestial Report. And today I have my good friend, Dan Duvall. Welcome, Dan.
It's good to be back, Celeste. Nice to be here.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been busy. I know I've been busy, and fall is always a good time as life supposedly is supposed to start slowing down to catch up on things.
Yeah, something like that. I guess it depends on what lane you're in.
Yeah, I haven't found the slowdown lane, but it used to be this time of year was the summer was behind you and you started slowing down a bit as winter approached. But we'll see what happens this year because it's a pretty dynamic year, isn't it?
This year is an extraordinarily dynamic year. All eyes are on the U.S. right now. The election is extremely high stakes. And there's a lot going on behind this. And we just learned about a third alleged attempted assassination on Donald Trump as they found some guy smuggling arms near his campaign event in California. And it's like, three times, really? There's a lot swirling, a lot of policies, the border, and obviously international events that are all extreme.
Yeah. So what is the biggest thing on your radar this year as you think about the past year and going into next year? What do you think is important for Christians to know about this season?
For me, one of our big outreaches at Bride Ministries is our outreach to survivors of satanic ritual abuse and government-sponsored mind control projects. We've really taken up that cause and said, God has justice, he has healing, he has deliverance. And we are not backing off of that position. And we have engineered a 3-year program to train the nations in how to do this work. We've created an entire church-owned company so that we can manage and do basically quality assurance and ongoing training and support for all of the coaches that serve within our ministry. And we've been really working on creating a sustainable and scalable system of building an army to tackle this problem. I believe that the problem of mind control is actually one of the biggest problems mankind is facing in this generation. And so this year has, for me, been a major year of, okay, how do we create a sustainable and scalable process by which we are going about this work so that when the time comes, we're able to not just serve hundreds and thousands, but tens and hundreds of thousands of people all over the world. And I believe that in conjunction with the mass deprogramming of many individuals around the world, you're going to see this dynamic of how another great awakening is going to open up. Because I believe that one of the biggest problems that the powers of darkness face in this hour is the awakening of the people of this world to the truth and to come out from under the veil of their lies and deceptive practices. And so part of that is, and I'd say part of that is the work that we are doing, I believe, to break the power of mind control and set the captives free in the name of Jesus. And so that's been a major focus of this year, is that work. And I think that, obviously, we're going to be talking about this, awareness of the times and seasons is very important. What you brought up, and I know you're going to bring up in a second for us to talk about, is harrowing, is very concerning to me. And wow, what a time we are in.
But the Christians have hope, and we know the end of the story. And there is a remnant. So this is not going to be a successful coup. They get coup d'etat. It is going to be an attempt, which it's written in the book. It's going by the book. And we really don't have to get emotionally all traumatized by this and add to our trauma, because we can have peace. We can have joy in the midst of the whirlwind. And I think the book of Job talks about that. And so I know that people go, how can you have peace and joy when you're talking about the United Nations taking over the world and the imminent, I believe that the earth has been plowed like a field and is ready for Antichrist, especially with the advent of artificial intelligence. And they are talking about the embodiment and manifestation of this, what we know as Christians as the Antichrist. What are your thoughts on that?
I believe that they have had a lot of projects moving forward to bring about Antichrist. And I think, and I was even talking to someone, she goes by the name Svali, that's a pseudonym, but she worked for, she was actually a member of the Jesuit order in Rome, but the deep Jesuit order, not the public facing version. And she describes all kinds of things, like how they infiltrated the Illuminati and how they have all kinds of operations, including their labs where they're generating transhuman type entities and Nephilim projects and trying to bring about the descendant of Satan. And they believe that they had success decades ago in bringing that being in. Now, did they? History will tell. But the idea that this time in history, at least according to her, who is an eyewitness to this world, could be the season where they try to bring their proposed Antichrist out is realistic. We may be looking at that in this season. I think that there have been a lot of false starts from the Kingdom of Darkness perspective, and some of the things that I've learned in the work and the field that I've been in, talking to people I've talked through, doing the deep programming, all of that work, what I've learned and taken away from that is that the Kingdom of Darkness has plans, and they have many of them, and they have plans A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And when plan A doesn't work, they move to B, and when B doesn't work, they move to C, and they just keep moving down the line. So every time we see something that could be something, it could be, and if that timeline works out for them, then they push it through the gate, and if it gets shut down, we reset it, it goes a few more years, and they try again. And so I see that as like the season that we're in, where they're really doing everything they can to get what they want through the gate, despite mounting opposition. And with that said, I am very hopeful no matter what goes on, because, and this is what I always remind people of,
The only power the Antichrist gets is the power that Satan has to give him. And I really believe that the God that we serve as believers, Jesus Christ, actually is the one who owns this world. He owns the heavens. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and those who dwell therein. And so we are actually contending with an inferior kingdom, with an inferior power source. And regardless of how things will play out, and there will be dark times and there will be difficult things, the God that we serve is the winner and has superior power for us to work with in lieu of whatever is facing us.
So there's some interesting chat going on right now. So let's address it. So the word says that there are many antichrists, but then at the last season or the last moment or whatever you want to say, that there is one embodied, one global entity. So do you believe that there are many antichrists throughout until the end, until Jesus Christ comes back, or does it coalesce into one?
Oh, I believe that there have been many antichrist figures all throughout history. 100%. Yes. Even around the time of Jesus, there were people that were claiming to be Christ that definitely had an antichrist spirit operating in them. I went to the study. I don't have the list in front of me, but like all of these names throughout history that have basically worked with an antichrist spirit declaring themselves to be Christ. And some of those actually date before Jesus dies and resurrects, and then all the way down through, and you see the antichrist spirit. Even on Adolf Hitler, I believe the antichrist spirit was very much operating in a significant way. And yeah, there are many antichrists throughout history. That's provable. I think that the Bible does talk about a beast. And there is a beast out of the sea in Revelation 13. There is a beast out of the earth, also in Revelation 13. One seems to be the son of perdition, referred to by Paul. And that is literally the son of iniquity or the son of Satan. And the other one is this false prophet. And that false prophet makes an image to the beast. And so I see the beast. I think that it's more than a metaphor. I think it is an embodiment in a person. I think just like we have a personal Jesus Christ, they have their antitype. And he will manifest at the end of the age. So I believe the answer is both, and that seems pretty clear.
Yep. That is my take as well. So anyway, I just thought that we could go down that rabbit trail for a minute. So I'm getting contacted. You said that you were really building a foundation for individuals that need prayer and deliverance and from human trafficking, probably to trauma, to many other different situations that people somehow are trapped or snared, or sometimes it's generational. And I think the last time we were on, we talked about generational spirits. So where do you think we are right now as far as prayer, and how is the Christian today? Is today any different? Are we more vulnerable? Are we more traumatized? Or is it a lack of discipleship that many didn't have in their youth? Where is the state of prayer going right now?
I think that's such a broad question. And I think the answer is going to largely be based on the vantage point of whatever the observer is looking at. I think it's like the whole parable, like you see five people look at an elephant. One describes the trunk, one describes the tail, one describes the leg. And they're all describing the same thing, but it's like a very large animal. And depending on your vantage point, you may have a different perspective. So my perspective looking at this is that we are in the very beginnings stages of a great awakening. I think that there is a great awakening that's going to sweep the earth that is not going to be stopped. And I think that the kingdom of darkness is trying to push as much as they can through the gate as fast as possible, because if they don't beat the clock, so to speak, there's going to be massive repercussions that is going to really just mess everything up for them. And I believe that is on an international scale. Now, From my perspective, I think you have several things going on. I think within the body of Christ, you have more division in that the remnant is becoming clearer and clearer as to who is signing up for that. Like, you have people that are saying, we are on board with Jesus. We are on board with the kingdom of God, and we want to go where the Spirit leads. And you have more, a whole group of people that are more clearly becoming anchored. We do not want to go where the Spirit is leading. We want to stay where we are comfortable, or we want to capitulate so we can stay comfortable. And it's also becoming clear who's been compromised. So you have a lot of exposure in the body of Christ. I'm not going to name names here. I'm just going to say a lot of exposure in the body of Christ. There are people that are just being absolutely, all of the dirty laundry is coming out right now. And it's, nope, this is what's there. And God is allowing for that to be exposed because it's cleaning house. One of the things that the Apostle Peter said was judgment begins in the house of God, right? But why does this judgment begin in the house of God? Because once the house of God has been judged, then in prayer and as the ecclesia, which really means a governing body, God can use his body to judge the earth. And what that means is we begin to partner with heaven to bring his government in where it has been absent. And so what we have here is we actually have, I think, people that are signing up to be part of that agenda with God. And you have people that are not, or people that are simply being disqualified because they've made a lot of very poor decisions and they've really not been working for Jesus. And so people are experiencing a lot of dismay and disheartening news. On these fronts, I see that all of this is moving in a certain direction because as evil is really ramping up their agenda to take over the earth, to install, the term was global New World Order. I think now they're using more the term global governance, but we hear both terms. But they're really ramping it up. They're like, we want to get this through. We want to get this through. We want to get this through. And I think at the same time, behind all of that is they want to bring their Messiah figure, which is our Antichrist, on the scene. And in response to that, God is no, my people are going to go higher and higher and higher because to take on what they are trying to bring in, I'm going to keep my people equipped at the level necessary. So what we are seeing is a continual upgrading in revelation. We're starting to get revelation into the planetary and the cosmos sphere of the spirit world. And I can give you some examples of that. There are some things, dots I'm connecting now that I have never connected before. And the higher that things go, the more that we are learning about the earth and the way that the earth has been defiled and how so many operations and things that evil can get through is not even anchored just to people. It's anchored to the defilement of earth. And that goes back to ancient sites. That goes back to the Nephilim. That goes back to stuff that is way back there in history. Ancient sites, like the earth has been dedicated and just demolished by evil agendas from non-human, half-human hybrid things that we are still experiencing effects of even now because of the spiritual nature of the planet, its interaction with God and with man and so on and so forth. But we are seeing an upgrade in understanding on what all of these line items are and how Jesus has made provision for redemption in all of these areas. And that provision then can be executed by his body. And so we're seeing like, wow, there's a massive and exciting upskilling that those that are the remnant are receiving as a mass awakening is coming. And it's just, okay, I believe that the generation that sees Antichrist is going to be ready.
Yes, I agree. I got to tell you this really interesting thing because you brought up in general the topic. So what part of what got me on this whole rabbit trail, besides the Holy Spirit giving me some revelation and insights, was I was watching a YouTube on Göbekli Tepe, the oldest site in the world, at least at this point. And they, of course, there was a German archaeologist and his wife that were working on it, and he was killed. And then the UNESCO came into the site and they built like the awning that goes over archaeological sites. This does have a reason. And then they have these sidewalks and then roads over the archaeological site. And then they planted olive trees. And it's illegal to, once the olive trees are planted, it's illegal in Turkey to cut the olive trees down. Then the World Economic Forum and Davos came in, because they're all like, they're all knitted together. And they said, we're not going to stop archaeology, but they pretty much have. They said, what we're going to do is we're going to turn it over to the next generation. And I go, ooh, those, I worked in government. I know what those words mean. I knew that there was deeper. So their definition of a generation is 150 years. Hmm. Now you think when, you know what, there was some genetic material from some, let's say, some with an extraordinarily long life, let's say. It was interesting. And then that got me really interested in why they were covering it up. And now there's this whole, we're going to turn it over to the next generation, which is 150 years. Another thing that they claim is that it takes 150 years to wipe any memory of God and his creation away. They want this synthetic realm. And you worked in synthetic biology long ago, so you understand that. Do I think they're going to achieve it? No, but it's to the degree that they're covering up our history and maybe some of these places. Now, was Göbekli Tepe a high place, or was it just a place where people survived the last ice age? I really don't know. And we really don't know. We don't have enough. It would have been, I'm an archaeologist at heart. I would love to just go dig in the dirt. That's my,
wow.
What, you know, I love to do.
It's so interesting that you bring this up. Now, one of the things that we're getting an upskilling in a lot of areas. And one of those has to do with the history of the earth. I think, and I'm just going to say this, I think you'll probably agree with the statement. When the truth finally comes out about the history of this planet, I think we're all going to be shocked. Because if there's one thing everybody can agree on, it's that the history we were told does not make sense. The history that we learned in middle school, in high school, college, does not make sense.
No.
But even when you begin to layer in certain new information that has come out in more recent years, there were Nephilim because the sons of God came into those of men in Genesis 6. Still, even with that idea that they were giants in the land, it doesn't answer every question about megalithic structures and the confusing past of this planet. Göbekli Tepe dates, I think they said, to 10,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Which is weird when you say, okay, and a lot of history does this, where you really end up with this dichotomy between what does the Bible say versus what did the historian say? Because you have a whole branch of young earthers that say all of Earth history happens in about 6,000 years, which is, if you date according to the math that was done by a guy named, I think it was Urscher, back to Adam, all and go through present time, we're roughly 6,000 and change years. And Göbekli Tepe is way older than that. Okay, so are many other sites. And then people say, oh, then we get into the old earth, young earth debate and all of this stuff. But something is definitely not adding up, no matter how you spin it, because it's, you look at a site like that and say, well, what was it used for? And what is the significance? And there are many megalithic structures all over the earth that people are still scratching their heads at, like, why? And when you look at things like these phenomena, like the pyramids in Egypt, why do they all align to Orion? What were the Egyptians doing with Orion's belt and that portal with their pyramids? What's the matching and appearing between these megalithic structures on the earth and the stars and the template of the heavens? And what is man's response supposed to be to these mysteries? And so we sit here and we scratch our heads and we see something in scripture that's profoundly confusing. It says that through the blood of the cross in Colossians chapter 1, Jesus is reconciling all things. This is the craziest passage. All things, whether in heaven or on earth, through the blood of the cross. And this is where I tell believers, I say, look, what God is doing in the earth through Jesus and therefore through his body, which is the believers, is not isolated to earth only because of this passage. It says he's reconciling things in the heavens. So what's the real story here? And I just say all that to say, I think we've been getting some keys and they're not what you would expect, but we are definitely seeing how this ancient history of earth has pieces that are absolutely also tying in some of the mystery of visitors, underground civilizations, mm-hmm. like the reptilians and other groups. We're seeing some of the dots connecting, and I'm hesitant to say what those connection points are because we haven't talked about some of these keys, but we have been getting keys, and I'll just say this, I believe they connect to pre-Adamic realities. And those realities deal with the spirit world, and they are bringing so much clarity. And I will actually say some of the deepest and most profound deliverances we've ever seen.
I think there's a clear passage in scripture when Cain slew his brother and when Cain slew his brother and he was scared of the people out because he said, they will kill me.
Yes.
If all humans created in the divine image of God were in the Garden of Eden, then who are those people out there he's scared of that are going to kill him? So now, am I dogmatic about it? No. But in my studies, what I see is that those were humanoids. They probably looked like you and I, but they were not created in the divine image of God. And so maybe they had superhuman strength or were they other type? It's obvious from these megalithic sites that they had advanced technologies. And even my dad we had a group of archaeologists come when in the late 1950s, to the house, and they were talking about bringing out advanced technology from archaeological digs, mm-hmm. like computers and mm-hmm. batteries and all these things. Now it's even more advanced technologies are being discovered in some of the hieroglyphs and petroglyphs and that type of thing. So it's really fascinating. I think we live in this fascinating time where we may get to see the answer to some of these questions.
Oh, we're absolutely going to see the answer to some of these things. But first answers we're going to see is how the kingdom of darkness utilizes what was laid in way in advance in ancient history to try to bring about their new world order today. So some of the preparation of earth and its defilement thousands of years ago was in anticipation of an opportunity to bring about a Messiah figure for the kingdom of darkness at some point. And they're going to pull on that power structure. They're going to pull on ancient grid lines and ley lines in the earth that are established between these ancient sites. And all that whole thing is going to come on, or they're going to try to bring it online at a certain point. And we're going to see, okay, this is what the occult kingdom was after. I absolutely believe that 100%. And I believe that because here's the thing, right? One of the things that we deal with is like bloodlines.
You do. And you have great prayers for people dealing with bloodlines.
And I can't tell you how many people we've had to work with that have had very interesting genetic markers in them that has come out by the Spirit. We've been able to remediate it with the power of Jesus Christ. But it leads to a very interesting view of history. For instance, we've had people where God has actually cleared the reptilian genetic line from their actual gene markers. Not just the reptilians, we've also run into Neanderthal, which is a humanoid group that seems to pre-exist Adam. And as strange as that sounds, I know that I've been through my own battles on the young earth, old earth, and I was a young earther for a little bit of time. And then I had to just absolutely drop that. And I have had to come back and say, you know what? There's more to the story. It's just I now, and this is me, and I'm not saying anyone has to agree with me, but I now see Adam being placed in the garden as an event that happens in the middle of a story, not at the beginning. And this story actually is a much longer epic saga of defilement in the spirit world, amongst the sons of God in the heavens, division amongst the angels, and an effort of God to bring about a redemptive agenda to the creation itself. And so Jesus is the plan, and he comes through the lines of man as the last Adam. And yes, we see that even in people's bloodline work and in their deliverance, we're connecting to groups that seem to have a pre-Adamic existence. And I would actually include a few others, which now this is something that's so strange, but we've run into what I would call the Martian bloodline, which it seems to connect to a group that actually did habitate the planet Mars before they were wiped out, but somehow some of their genetic markers are in some people, and I don't know how they got them. Also, Venusian, which seems to connect to the planet Venus. And I want to say something about the planet Venus that is really interesting. And your listeners can obviously look this up, but just food for thought. So we talk about Lucifer in Christianity. Okay. So Lucifer is actually a Latin term. What does it come from? It comes from the Greek word phosphorus. Phosphorus comes from the Hebrew word Hallel, which is like light bearer. It says, how thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. If you look at what's happening, it's actually a reference to the morning star. And that morning star is Venus. That morning star is Venus. And so it's like, why do we see the Bible making an allusion to one of our big number one enemies, but we're really talking about a planet? And we're deriving this name Lucifer as we move through the different languages. It's just a really interesting study. And then we find out, okay, he was in the garden of God, this and so forth. So the interesting thing, though, is that when you look at the mystery religion is not just a male-centered religion. It's a religion based on the obelisk and the dome. That's the mystery religion, the phallus and the womb. And so all over the world, anytime you see an imprint of the mystery religion, Mystery Babylon, you see the obelisk and the dome. Even at our own capital, we have the Capitol building and we have the Washington Monument, the obelisk and the dome. You have it in St. Peter's Cathedral. You have the obelisk and the dome. You have all over this world, you have this setup. And it all speaks to the mystery religion, which is really the worship of the phallus. But in order to have the phallic worship, you have to have the whore. And so we find in Revelation 17, the whore of Babylon, and that's one of the great enemies all throughout the Bible. God is at war with Babylon, so on and so forth. Now this is the really interesting part of this, though. So phosphorus, as a reference to Venus, is actually a reference to the morning star, or Venus's path in the sky in the morning, in the dusk of the day. But you also have Venus in its path in the evening, which is observable from several places all throughout the earth, and it has its own path. And Venus, when it is being referred to in the evening, is the queen of heaven. Mm. So when you look at the planet Venus, what you find is that all throughout history, and I'm talking about going back to ancient Sumeria, you have a lot of conversation around that planet as the queen of heaven, having incredible powers relative to the matters of what occur in the earth. I mean, extending to that it's able to rain down fire and all kinds of crazy, like, manifestations that cause people to make a lot of decisions. And this is from the Middle East to South America. Venus works its way into their belief systems as this it has an eight-pointed star, and that's a reference to the fact that its position from Pluto into the solar system towards the sun, it is the eighth planet in. So that eight is at the center of this. By the way, did you know that Hitler was 888, like Hail Hitler? That's the 88. Yeah. So but what you see in this conversation is how this planetary body, it's masked, it's veiled, but you have planetary powers at work in bringing about realities connected to the mystery religion. I believe you see both Luciferian and Queen of Heaven influences connected to that planet relative. What does this mean for the actual history of this planet and the influences that are directing events in the earth today. I think these are some of the veils that are beginning to come off, Celeste.
So in doing the deliverance, have you run across any Pleiadian lines?
100%. Okay. 100%. And, you know, that is added to a list. We did a whole, and this was a few years ago, I had mapped this with a whole series of people that had connections into Illuminati bloodlines that I was working with personally. And I was basically deriving a list of what I called pre-Adamic Illuminati bloodlines. And what I was doing was every time I was able to get another name, and this was just literally coming out of their own deliverance from Holy Spirit, from many survivors that are connected to these deeply occult bloodlines, they have what are known as, like, they have internal libraries inside of them. Like, in the actual mysteries are encoded within their systems and in their DNA. And so we're able sometimes to access these libraries and get very hidden information because it's stored in them. And we began to derive the names of a whole series of groups. And that's when I began to connect the idea that the Illuminati agenda that's running through what we would call maybe like the 13 bloodlines of the Illuminati in the earth. It's not so simple as you have this Bavarian Illuminati in 1776 started by Anna Weishaupt and these other guys, and they just are the Illuminati and they use the Freemasonic lodge as their evangelistic tool. Like, it's much deeper than that. These bloodlines are ancient. They go all the way back. They go through ancient Egypt. They go through Nimrod and his kingdom beginning at Babel and Erech and so forth. And so in the work, we began to connect that they were pulling on genetics and DNA that was actually derived from pre-Adamic sources that are not human at all. They're not even human genetics. And so the agendas that are bringing about an Antichrist figure in the earth are actually pulling on an agenda that is a pre-Adamic conspiracy against God. And it's worked its way into the human bloodlines that have basically agreed. They've made contracts and covenants. And by that means, this stuff has come in. Now it's way worse than it ever was before because they just basically do in vitro fertilization in underground military labs. They have the Hitler projects. They're basically engineering people with whatever DNA they want in them so that they can put them through the projects we're getting people delivered out of. And so we see all of it. Nordic, Pleiadian, Venusian, Martian, Nephilim. The list is extraordinary, but we did come up with 13 pre-Adamic groups and bloodlines that were, I would say, the most significant. And that was a few years ago. And I have a prayer that it's not public, but all of our coaches have access to it. And some of the deliverances we've seen off of this thing were extreme. And these bloodlines, I'll give you a couple of them. One of them was Pleiadians. Another one was the Elven group. And the Elven,
like Elven and the Chipmunks?
No, not Elven, elves. Like what in J.R. Tolkien as like
the elves.
They're not okay. Like Santa Claus, keyboard.
Okay.
They are like 7 feet tall and they live in Hollow Earth and other places, but this group was definitely in that list as well. And so it has been a phenomenal journey. Celeste, we've learned a lot. And the proof of the pudding, though, and the reason why I don't have too much problems talking about some of these things publicly is because I have hundreds of people getting delivered in the name of Jesus on the basis of this information. And so if no one was getting delivered, no one was getting healed, I would say since Holy Spirit never heals based on a lie, I'm just making stuff up. But since people are getting healed and delivered, we're not making this up.
There's also the 7-volume book set by Lewis Ginsberg, and it's called Legends of the Jews. And it talks about the underworld and the inhabitants in the different layers of the underworld, just like there's different layers of heaven. And so it really is very fascinating. I actually, if anybody out there wants to check it out, it was... go to shepherdsheart.life, my blog, news blog, and just type in the search engine underworld I can't remember the full title because it's a number of years ago. And I went in and I relayed what Lewis Ginsburg, because there were actually people that had personal interactions with these, like one level in the underworld would travel through the aquifer, and that's how they would meet. And so it's very interesting. It's very insightful if you ever get a chance to just do some casual reading. He has a one book, one of the volumes is just an index, so you can just look up the various ones, but it was a very fascinating study.
Wow. Yeah. I think that this is what we're looking at. What we're looking at in the birthing of a new world order is a pre-Adamic conspiracy against God manifesting through a defiled, broken, and corrupted humanity.
It's interesting. So would you say that they're territorial spirits? So they were pre-Adamic. Are they territorial spirits?
Which ones?
The ones that you're mentioning, the Illuminati, different bloodlines that you've encountered.
Are they territorial spirits? That's an interesting term. So this is how I look at that. So we deal a lot with the spirit world. Obviously, in this work, the spirit world comes very close and it becomes very interactive. It's not theory so much as practice at a certain point. The way that I look at it, when you talk about territorial spirits, you're talking about a spirit that has a governmental influence over a region. And that can change over time. So you may have a group, for instance, where there was a major worship of a god or goddess. Let's say for a long time in a certain region, you have people and they're worshiping Zeus. And they have a big temple to Zeus. But then another group comes in and they kill all those people. And they happen to be Buddhists. And now you have a different religion that's being practiced in that location. The territorial spirit can change, because spirits that have the worship of men have power. They have strength, which is why, like, anything that's in the spirit world is always seeking worship, because the more they get, the more attention they get, the stronger they get. Some spirits seem to change identity from one culture to the next to keep power. Queen of Heaven would be one of the big ones, because you have Inanna, you have Ashtoreth, you have Deity, you have all the same spirit, essentially. Bapa, 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 bapa. And she moves through different groups. And territorial spirits are simply, the spirits that are exercising authority governmentally within a region, but that can be any spirit, and it can also change over time. Would you find that some of these spirits do sit as territorial spirits in some places and at different points in history in different regions? Yes. So the Pleiades are the seven sisters. Yeah. They were very venerated in Australia. Would they have been a territorial power in Australia with the indigenous people? 100%. But do they have the same influence now that they did in all of history? Probably not, because there's been a lot more influences of different religious streams and thought processes in Australia, but there are ancient roots and all stuff. I think that's how I look at it. And what happened is, when you're doing territorial work, like one of the things that Jesus is training his body to do in this hour is, this is what may be governing a region today. But if God has a region on his map and he says, I want to transform this area, he's going to send his people in. He's going to send an apostolic pioneer in. And he's going to, one of the things that God is establishing in this hour is, I use the term governing church. All churches should be governing, but not all are. And a governing church is a group of people that are under a leadership that have acted on a heavenly scroll to take a governmental influence over a region. What that means is, they are actually, through their worship and prayer and good works, installing the influences of the kingdom of God as supreme over any other demonic territorial spirits that may be in the region or native to it. So by the influence of that body of believers, the influence of those evil are going to wane. And you're going to see less and less of their ability to run trafficking, drugs, witchcraft. You'll actually see the witches and the covens, they'll just move out of the region because they can't work their stuff in that region anymore. and this is absolutely doable. So can Jesus be installed as a territorial spirit over a region? Totally. Him and his angels that he has on assignment in the spirit world. It's really cool. And this is actually the call for many in the remnant now in this point in history. They want to bring about their Antichrist, and God is dumping out the tools, the resources, and the revelations. No, you're gonna build up the desolations of many generations. I talk about Isaiah 61 all the time, because what I tell people is Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection unlocks the entire thing. Not only is he going to remove the shame, and where there was shame, he's going to give double honor. Not only is he setting the captives free, binding up the brokenhearted, he's raising up the desolation of many generations. He is rebuilding the waste places and the former desolations. That is in the face of agendas for global governance and all these things. And how does he do it? He does it through the name and power of Jesus Christ and a group of people that believe they serve a superior God with superior power.
Absolutely. Right now. No doubt about it. And it really is interesting that even though the earth may have been tainted, in many passages in scripture, it calls upon heaven and earth to be a witness to the events that transpire on the face of the earth, whether they be righteous and holy or full of iniquity. Heaven and earth both are called as witnesses. It's very interesting. And maybe that's because the blood of the saints, when they're slaughtered, they goes down into the earth. And maybe that's them crying out and for justice. I don't know. That's just speculation.
I also have a lot to say on that subject, Celeste. I don't know if that's something you want to unpack.
Go ahead. We got 15 minutes. Let's do it.
But yes, that is an element of conversation that people, I think, really have a hard time with. And it starts here. God, everything that God creates is alive. Jesus is a God of life, not a God of death. And I think people think God creates things that are dead because that's how he does it. So if God creates a planet, it's dead. If God creates a universe, it's dead. If God creates a tree, and it's just, no, everything is alive. So when you begin to look at what that means from a spiritual perspective, what you realize is that everything that's alive also has a degree of self-awareness, even if you wouldn't necessarily be able to engage it in your soul as a natural process. It doesn't mean that God can't. So when you look at the earth, it's like most people, they're not going to have a conversation with earth and it's going to be like, hi, earth, how are you doing today? Earth talks back, hey, I'm doing great, how are you?
Well, there are some religions that might.
There are. Well, and that's exactly right. In fact, the whole conversation of Geb and Nut in the, I believe that's Egyptian, but like Geb is earth, and that's actually an entity that is the earth, and Nut is the sky, and that is an entity that is like the cosmos. And they personify these entities in their belief system. But the funny thing is, God personifies these entities in his religion. And so when we actually do read what the Bible actually says, it says that when God wants to consider a matter, heaven and earth can testify. They are actually called as witnesses. And what I say is God created heaven and earth alive. He absolutely created the heavens alive. The heavens declare his handiwork. How could you declare God's handiwork if you were not alive to do it? The earth can be called as a witness. How could, you know, when you have a court of law, you have witnesses and evidence. It's the evidence is what's on the table. That is the gun that was shot in the crime. And it's who are the witnesses? The guy that owns the corner store and the cop that was at the site and the person that was the victim. And they're all sitting here and they can testify as to what they have borne witness to. So if you're going to have a witness, it has to have a consciousness. God can talk to the heavens and the earth as you and I would talk to each other. And with that said, you do have these beings that God can engage with that can give the full record of every injustice that has been executed against them. So God goes to the earth and says, earth, what did you bear witness to? I bore witness to this crime and this bloodshed and this iniquity and this witchcraft and this defilement. And there's nothing hidden.
And I think that going back to our previous conversation, like whenever that was, a little while ago, about synthetic biology, is that We all heard about smart dust at first, and then we heard about nanobots. At first, it was just nanoparticles, and then it was nanobots. And then in the journals, they started to go do the creepy crawly. I don't know if you've had a puppy yet. If you're at that stage of parenthood where the little puppy goes creepy crawly, then the journal started to say, oh, these are really entities. So they're nano entities. So they started to bring out that there's forces and life behind smart dust and nanobots and nanoparticles and all of that.
Yes. And I think that when it gets to the time of the end, one of the greatest accusations that the kingdom of darkness is going to have against it from the earth. And I say earth herself because Eretz, earth, which is the Hebrew word for earth, is actually a feminine word. Eretz is feminine in the Hebrew. But I think one of the greatest accusations is all of the synthetic modifications that have been made against the earth and all of the environmental engineering that is absolutely, this has been, I think, in our generation, one of the greatest defilements of all. And it's, and you've brought it out. You have done the hard work on this, Celeste, and I think you've done a great job. All of the evidence of the science that has been used in destroying this planet and us in it, all, like, not just us, but basically anything else has to live under all these chemtrails, nanotech, it's just crazy what's happening. But there will be justice.
Yes, but I think that as the every believer needs to realize that nothing is, there are forces behind things. That it's either the living God force or it's a demonic entity force, but there are forces right now because really we live in a time of war, that the very elements, the very atoms and molecules are at war in this final war. And I think if we understand that fact, we will not be deceived and that we can't be apathetic. We're going to take it. The time of sitting on the fence is over. You never really could sit on the fence, but some people thought they could. But this is definitely not the day. You are either going to be on the living God side, Jesus side, or you're going to be persuaded by evil and go down the path of iniquity, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think there's, like I said before, a definite dividing. Yep. There is a dividing. Yep. However, for those that are choosing God's side of the division, I think this is possibly the most exciting time in all of history to be alive. I am actually very excited, Celeste.
I am too.
To look at, including the synthetic modification of our environments, the vote that the UN took on April 8th, the onboarding of so much artificial intelligence, and the reality that I don't even think we realize at this point how much of our experience with this world is being modulated by the influences of artificial intelligence. Did I buy that cup of coffee because I wanted that cup of coffee or because my smartphone showed me an ad of that coffee as predictive programming to assure that I did buy this cup of coffee this morning? We're starting to get into that realm of who's really making the decisions though. Is it the convenience of my, search preferences, or is it my genuine human will? I don't think we even realize how much is being manipulated. But at the end of the day, this is a very exciting time to be alive because I'll tell you what, Holy Ghost is moving. And he's raising up a generation that was sent here for such a time as this. And a lot of people, they ask me a lot. They say, Daniel, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Especially when I talk to people that just got a massive bomb drop of information that's inconvenient. Stuff that you would talk about, stuff that is covered up by the mainstream, but definitely I wish more people would know it. And it's, whoa, I got a dose of truth. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. What's the right answer? I tell people, get on scroll. What is scroll? Every person that is born was sent here with a divine purpose. I believe that. I really believe that. I believe that when the Bible says all of the days of our lives were written in his book, when as yet there were none of them, that means that God thought carefully through why he created each and every one of us. He had an idea. He acted on it. He created a unique being that he wanted to love and he wanted to use for a godly, redemptive purpose. And then we were sent into this earth. With that, we have the responsibility to choose to say yes to that godly, redemptive purpose. And when we do, regardless of how fancy and complex the situation that we are up against is, we can have confidence that the Holy Spirit, who is God, knows the nature of the problem that is being solved and has all of the information necessary to solve it according to his plan. And all we need to do is say yes to our part. We don't have to understand the whole plan. We don't have to understand the whole problem set. We don't have to figure out the entire conspiracy. We can say yes to Jesus and trust that when we say yes and we act on what God requires of us and shows us that we were sent here to do, we are going to do our part in bringing about God's response to all of the opposition and transform this world for his sake, even in the days that we're living in. And that's where I put my confidence.
Those are good words to close on. Would you be open to coming back and just doing a program? I have a heart, a special heart. I don't know if you, have you ever heard the name Robert Duncan?
Yes.
Okay. Did you know he was assassinated in July? On July 8th, he was assassinated. They warned him ahead of time because he was doing a new book for targeted individuals. And in his memory, I would like to have a discussion with you on just reaching the targeted individual and those who are trafficked. Would you be open to that?
100%.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do it. Yeah. Sorry to drop that. People are asking, where's Robert Duncan? Does anybody know where Robert Duncan is? And then there's another person that people have been asking about. And he just died of natural causes. But even though he said he was going to redact most of his book, they took him out anyway. So
yeah, Project Soulcatcher Volume 2. That book rocked my world years ago. Yep. Wow. That's heavy.
Yeah. So we'll do it in his memory. And in his honor, because he was a real advocate for the targeted individual. And I've tried to carry on his work because I also did a soul catcher. I wasn't even aware of Robert Duncan at that point, but I did his last interview. We did an interview and then a couple months later he was gone. So anyway, it was a hard year this year. Yeah. Many losses for many of us, you know, so. Anyway, thank you so much for today's conversation. It was great to touch bases, and I will get in touch with you and we can set up a date for talking about trafficking and targeted individuals and what is available in the word and in prayer for those folks, because group is a little bit depleted. We need to step up to the plate and minister to them in Jesus' name. So
that's right. Yep. We are major advocates of Bride Ministries for targeted individuals.
Yep. God bless you, Dan. We'll see you and everybody out there. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you the next time.
You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Visit me at dandeval.com, where you'll discover merch, books, and the opportunity to engage in our private social network. Join the tribe by subscribing to our email list and supporting this podcast.
It's the Kia Season of New Traditions sales event, so don't just hang your own lights. Venture out and look for the Northern Lights. Drink cocoa on the beach. Or be a drive-by karaoke caroler. Because every Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. So you can take holidays to places they've never been. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
See Kia dealer for warranty details. Event ends 1-2-25.